Welcome to Torah Simecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Megillas Rus, Perek Dalid. This perek is the final in the Megillah and brings resolution to the loose ends from last perek, namely how the geula for the family of Elimelech comes about. In Perek Aleph, we were introduced to Elimelech, who moved away from his people and shed himself of his responsibility as leader. And in this perek, we witness Boaz moving towards his family and taking responsibility for its geula. As Boaz ascends to the gate, to the basin in the city, he runs into Ploni Almoni, the family member who is the closest redeemer, the closest goel. In front of 10 men, Boaz asks him if he would like to assume responsibility and redeem the land of Elimelech, to which Ploni Almoni agrees. However, Boaz further explains that redemption of the land also entails marrying Rus, the widow of Mahlon, in order to uphold the name of the deceased. At this point, this man, Ploni Almoni, who remains nameless, decides to forfeit his rights to be the redeemer. Since the geula was a form of yibum, the mitzvah of chalitza was necessary to formalize this man's refusal, and so his shoe is removed and handed to Boav to assume responsibility in his place. Chalitza was done in front of members of the city, who then blessed the marriage of Boaz and Rus, that they should build a home similar to Rachel and Leah, who built up Am Yisrael, and that they should continue the lineage of Peretz, son of Yehuda. After Rus and Boaz marry, they have a son, and the woman bless Naomi and praise Hashem for affording her this redemption and family continuity. Naomi raises the baby, and the women proclaim that a son has been born to Naomi. He's named Oved, who is the father of Yishai and the grandfather of David. The Megillah ends with listing all the generations, starting with Peretz and resulting in the birth of David, with the name David being the concluding word of the Megillah. Just like in Perek Gimel, the focus in this perek is on the long-term continuity and legacy of the family of Elimelech and Naomi. Whereas the events of last perek were conducted discreetly and in the dark and in the middle of the night, in this perek, all is resolved in the morning and in front of the public. The plan that Naomi had encouraged last perek, the one that we knew was even difficult for Rus to do and that was potentially jeopardizing her reputation, was not carried out exactly as she had imagined and carries over to this perek. Just as we saw in Perek Beis, there was a series of coincidences, in quotes, with Rus ending up in Boaz's field and catching his attention, which we understand as being part of Yad Hashem. The beginning of this perek is no different. Boaz immediately runs into the closer relative, as we're told, Vihine HaGoel, behold the Redeemer, in Pasuk Aleph. The Midrash relays that Hashem had just said that just like Rus did her part, and Boaz did his part in the story and putting in their efforts, that Hashem will now do his part by having the Goel appear just at the right time. And even if Hashem would have had to go get him from the other ends of the earth, he would have done so. Af ani eseh esheli. I will do what is required of me. The goel remains unnamed in this perek, since it's through his choice that he does not agree to uphold the name of the dead. Ploni Almoni can be understood as the Jewish version of randomness, like John Doe or such and such or so and so. But we could also say that the name Almoni specifically is alluding to a sense of being elame from the word mute or deaf, and that this Goel chose not to listen or be aware of the halacha that explicated that it was only a Moavi and not a Moavis, not a female, that was forbidden to convert and join Am Yisrael. And as a result, he chose not to fulfill a mitzvah and marry Rus, although there was really no issue in him doing so and would have been a mitzvah. It could be that Boaz intentionally linked the land and marriage together because he knew Ploni Almoni would not agree to this. But there is precedent for this linkage, as in the story with Beno Slavchad, where the inheritance of land and the continuation of the name of their father, the deceased, was linked with marriage within their Shevet. The contrast between Boaz's decision and that of Ploni Almoni serves to glorify Boaz and reminds us of a similar example in Perek Aleph, where the decision of Rus to join Naomi and Orpah to depart from her mother-in-law are also contrasted in an effort to highlight the unbelievable chesed of Rus in comparison to her sister-in-law. It is the Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice of both Rus and Boaz, that produced the future king who will embody this same quality necessary to be the ultimate leader of Am Yisrael. And once a decision is made by a character in the Megillah to not play a part in the story of Geula, the name of that character is not mentioned and given continuity in the text, like Orpah in Perek Aleph, Ploni Almoni in our Perek. The theme of this Perek is clearly Geula, redemption, as seen by the recurrence of this word and Shoresh 15 different times. In Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk mentions the Geula and names of the dead. They had also been mentioned in Perek Aleph, and when doing so, Machlon's name was mentioned before Chilion's. But here the names are switched, and it says Chilion and then Machlon, Machlon being the second, so that the Pasuk can end off with his name, because it can also mean Mechila, a little different from how we translated his name back in Perek Aleph. Mechila meaning that through the events of this Perek, redemption is brought to their earlier transgressions and the family is forgiven. And of course, the name of the baby Oved represents the Avoda Shabalev, the service of heart and heartfelt tshuva that was done by both Naomi and Rus from the beginning of the Megillah until this point to bring about that redemption. Starting in Pasuk Yud Aleph, there are also many examples of the word bayis, house, focusing on the house of Melucha being put into existence, as well as a reference to the Geula being mentioned as well. And we want to contrast the word Sadeh in reference to Moav back in Perek Aleph, the locale associated with earlier sins of the family, with our Perek here, the Bayit, the permanence, and the acts of Chesed there being done in our Perek. In Pasuk Tes Zayin, Naomi is referred to as the Omenes, the foster mother to the baby born to Rus and Boaz. This term shares a root with the word Emuna, faith, and highlights Naomi's growth in these four prakim from one with no hope, who trusts in Hashem, and no hope, and to one in our parak of one who trusts in Hashem, and is also going to be able to play a role in instilling the midah of faith and trust in Hashem in her progeny as well. What is the significance of the shoe being removed to indicate whether one will or will not be a goel? A shoe represents the status of someone free, someone who's able to make a choice, as in this parak, something that the Goel and Boaz both do. It's also what firmly plants our feet on the ground and establishes a sense of permanence, or in this case, continuity, and the mitzvah that's being performed. The idea and the detail of removal of a shoe can be seen in certain places in Tanakh as a step towards holiness and connection to Hashem by removing exterior barriers with the physical in attaining a spiritual status, like with Moshe at the Sneh, when he's told to remove his shoes, or with Yoshua when he encounters the angel of Hashem in Perek He in Sefer Yoshua and told to remove a shoe. And so we can understand this also as indicating the spiritual nature of Boaz's decision as Goel through the shoe removal. Let's examine the reactions of the people of Beis Lechem who are witnessing what's going on. They appear as bookends in the Megillah. Both in Perek Aleph and Dalet, they appear. In Perek Aleph, they're the ones who have been wronged by Elimelech and family and witnessed Naomi's return and do not provide assistance and do not acknowledge Rus. They're the ones now in Perek Dalet to name the child born to Rus and acknowledge it in Pasuk Yud Zayin. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, they bless Rus that she should be like Rachel and Leah. The meaning of their blessing in comparison to Rachel and Leah is that they can be viewed in a similar vein to Rus as paradigms of women who came from problematic backgrounds but are transformed into righteous mothers. So what an amazing blessing they're bestowing on Rus at this point. We can also view Rachel and Leah as essential mothers in the creation of the complete Am Yisrael and ones who symbolize national unity as mothers of both future kingdoms. This notion of unity is further communicated through specifically mentioning Ephrata and Beis Lechem in the same pasuk, as these are both references to the burial spot of Rachel, but they are both located within Shevet Yehuda, a child of Leah. So this place is the perfect location to represent national unity and the ultimate representation and goal through redemption, where there'll be no more splits in the kingdom and no weak leadership, and the perfect place to birth the future king who will be charged with national unity. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hashem is specifically singled out as the one who blesses Rus with pregnancy, this blessing of continuity. The other time in the Megillah where Hashem directly provided and is explicitly mentioned was in Perek Aleph, when Hashem remembered his nation to give them bread, the blessing of sustenance. It is these two blessings of food and in Perek Aleph and of Geula in our Perek that are represented in the events of Prakim Beis and Gimel as well, and are the two goals that needed to be resolved in the Megillah. In evaluating all four prakim of the Megillah, it's interesting to note that the plans organized by Elimelech and Naomi in the beginning of the Megillah and by Naomi in Perek Gimel are not actualized, while the plans of Rus in Perek Beis and Boaz in Perek Dalet are the ones that are furthered through Hashem's orchestrating of people to be in the right place at the right time. Rus and Boaz and their plans and eventual union also symbolize the tikkun for the period of the Shoftim, which was full of hopelessness and was unsuccessful, and needed a new charge in order to pave the way for meriting Malchus Yisrael. This was accomplished through their selfless actions and their actual child, Oved, who will be David HaMelech's grandfather. One could ask why Shmuel HaNavi did not include the events of this Megillah and Sefer Shoftim with the rest of the stories that mark that time period. Why separate them into a separate Sefer? The answer could be related to the different messaging of each Sefer, as seen by the endings of both. Sefer Shoftim highlights the negative consequences of a lack of central leadership and no Jewish king, and as such ends off with the phrase mentioned earlier, Ein Melech b'Yisrael, Ish Kol HaYashar be'inav Ya'aseh, that when there was no king, each person did what he wanted and only thought of themselves. In contrast, Megillas Rus illustrates what can happen when people perform acts of chesed and pay attention to each other and forge connections, and is evidenced in the events leading to the birth of David, future king, and as the last word mentioned in the Megillah. Sefer Shoftim conveyed the failure of the tribe of Yehuda to assume leadership, and our Megillah refines and prepares the Shevet of Yehuda for imminent Malchus. What a significant lesson seen in the ending to the Megillah by skipping over the names of those who choose not to rise to the challenge of this time period, and mentioning by name those who play an integral part in the development of Am Yisrael. The story of Avram and Lot is also able to come full circle in this Megillah and experience its own version of Geula through the actions of Rus, the descendant of Lot, and further highlights the centrality of Chesed to our development as a nation. By both beginning and ending the Megillah with an act of Chesed, the message of this centrality of reaching out and performing kindness to others is communicated, and the events unfold as a combination of both human effort and divine intervention. Although there are several reasons given for why we read this Megillah on Shavuos, the phrase Toras Chesed, a Torah of kindness, may be the most compelling. That on the holiday when we celebrate our commitment to Torah and mitzvot and our relationship with Hashem, we also highlight the equally important focus on our relationship with others, and that our Torah observance is incomplete without both realms developed. This year is dedicated by Debbie and Yossi Rosenberg in loving memory of their dear grandmother, Mrs. Ruth Friedman, Rivka Bas Yaakov, Aleha Shalom. This concludes our study of Megillas Rus. Chazak, chazak, v'nitchazek.